And in just a moment, I'm going to introduce you to one of my favorite people and a good friend, Ken Riegel of Just Harvest.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
We have special birthdays we'll be celebrating a little bit later this half hour. And let me say hello to Ken right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Larry.
And it's empty bowls time. Is this 30? No. How many years?
Not quite. We started in 1996, so that makes it our 24th year, I guess.
Wow. 1996 was the first one?
Yes.
So, yeah, you're right. I was just checking your math. I've been making a lot of little math mistakes this week. It's an amazing event. You brought some bowls here, which we have some photographed, too. This one is beautiful. I think looking to see what it says on the... It looks like it says Kent on the
Keith.
Bottom.
Keith Herkenrother is one of our longest-standing and most generous bowl makers. He leads a group of former students at North Hills High School that makes hundreds of bowls for us each year. We've also got bowls today from the Pittsburgh Center for the Arts and Media and from the Sweetwater Arts Center.
These are beautiful. And what happens with the Empty Bowls dinner is you pay an admission, which is a donation of cash, and it's split between Just Harvest and Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. You pick up one of these beautiful bowls to take home with you, and then you wait in line for a simple meal of bread and soup donated by bakeries and restaurants and chefs, and sit at long tables or tables with friends either that you brought with you or that you didn't realize were doing the same thing you are or that you make on that very day.
New friends and old friends is part of the key to Empty Bowls.
Yeah, it's a great event. And over the years, you've raised quite a lot of money, but as important, a lot of awareness, too.
I think that Empty Bowls has sort of a signature ability to communicate the urgency of the hunger problem in a way that lots of the educational resources that we put out there in the community don't. A simple meal, an empty bowl, and waiting for a while in a soup line gives people both a visceral experience of what it's like to be one of our hungry neighbors, and also gives us an opportunity with new friends and old friends to be a part of a community response that thinks about the immediate problem of hunger and thinks about the long-term implications and root causes of hunger.
You probably have a sense of what Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank does. They make sure, or you might not have a sense, they make sure that pantries have food, and in essence, they are a distribution service. They take donations of food, but massive donations, and then they make sure they get distributed to local pantries.
You can think largely about the food bank as a wholesale food operation,
yeah.
whose product sells for zero. They work with about 400 different community-based agencies, food pantries, soup kitchens, senior centers, after-school programs, et cetera, throughout an 11-county area in southwestern Pennsylvania, and do a tremendous job for more than, it's going on 40 years pretty soon that they've been at that work, doing a tremendous job of making it possible for folks who don't have enough food to eat to get the food that is going to keep them able to thrive.
So if you visit a neighborhood pantry, chances are that its food is coming from Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. I'm sure they get local donations too, but Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, not everybody could be working with a large corporation and take in truckloads of food to then distribute by the truckload. You need a central location like that.
Indeed.
So they're working on taking care of the results of systemic hunger and poverty by giving people a means to get something to eat. Going back a little bit further, the best thing we could do is to eliminate hunger altogether, and frankly, put Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank out of business if we could by eradicating hunger. That's where organizations like Just Harvest come into play. And that may be a little bit more of an elusive concept to get across. So, Ken, could you talk a little bit about the mission and work of Just Harvest?
Sure. In an ideal world, we would be out of business too. But the problem of hunger, as we see it, is not just a logistical or distribution problem of taking affluent people's leftovers and getting them into the hands of low-income people. That when we think about hunger, if we think about it sort of a charitable model that redistributes unwanted food, then what we're saying to hungry people at its essence is what you deserve is somebody else's unwanted food. And if we think instead of hunger as a human rights problem and people having a fundamental right to enough food to eat, then the solutions lie in much more systemic and complex kinds of solutions. We need policies at every level of government in this country that make it possible for people to work at decent wages, to take care of their families when they're sick without risking losing their job, that people don't have to choose between enough food to eat and keeping the heat on in their home or keeping a roof over their head, that in that human rights mindset, we think about public policy, we think about the economic rules of our system, and we think about our hungry neighbors as neighbors and human beings deserving of fundamental dignity instead of as objects of charity. And that's not a criticism of the food bank at all, which I think has that mindset, but also has a sort of, in a way, narrower mission than we have at Just Harvest, and in its own way, an immensely complex mission as well to deliver and distribute the vast quantities of food to people who are hungry today and can't wait for long-term solutions to complex problems.
Have you managed to have some positive accomplishments in the last year or so? I think I know the answer to that question, but a lot of folks I know have somewhat given up, not given up hope, but have less hope these days about, I won't even say the progressive ideals, but simply the moral ideal of making sure that people have food to eat. We see so many children who need food, and we've been involved with backpack programs and other programs to help kids eat. There are kids who can't wait to get to school on Monday because it means they're going to get a chance to eat, and it's through no fault of their own nor their households. I think there's some positive things. The great work always happens at the grassroots, not necessarily always on a national level. What's new? Farmers markets are going to be opening up soon.
Farmers markets are going to be opening up here in the area for the most part in early to mid-May. And because of Just Harvest, we're able at many local farmers markets to accept food stamps, which are all on debit cards now, called EBT, electronic benefits transfer cards. So at many local farmers markets, Just Harvest is there running a desk to electronically charge the benefits on your card and providing tokens that farmers can use as currency with their food stamp and credit and debit card customers.
That's
as well.
That's huge. It means farmers, for one, get additional customers, and you also have the freshest food pretty much possible at a decent price and without having to, frankly, be a second-class citizen, not being able to go to farmers markets because of the barrier of not having cash.
That's right. And expanding people's choices, whether that's providing help to local mom-and-pop grocery stores in neighborhoods that don't have supermarkets, to working with local government to try to advance economic development strategies that bring food stores and better food choices into communities, to working on mass transit solutions so that it's easier for people in neighborhoods to get to their job, to get to their childcare, to get to the grocery store, so that people are able to fend for themselves. And we have been making progress in those kinds of areas. Sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back, and the challenges in the current political environment are certainly very deep. But we continue to make important progress, and we continue to fight back against the potential steps backward. Right now, Just Harvest is working to stop the Trump Agriculture Department from implementing a rule that would make it more difficult for state governments to decide that economic conditions in their state make it ineffective to put time limits on food stamp benefits for some people. The federal government under the Trump administration wants to more rigorously enforce those time limits, even though out of the other side of their mouths they say they want to deregulate and they want state governments to have more flexibility and authority, except when it comes to taking care of poor people. So we're pushing back against that right now, encouraging people to send comments during an official public comment period this month to the Agriculture Department. We're holding an event in downtown Pittsburgh, a comment writing session on March the 20th. So that that kind of event is part of how we're working together as a community.
That really works.
To push back.
That really works, too. As somebody who has written comments on government regulations, regulations are proposed. They're published in the Federal Register generally, and there's a comment period by law. That's not everything has changed yet. There's a comment period, and you write those comments, and by law, they have to be responded to. And the human beings that write those policies are required to incorporate comments into them. And I've seen changes to proposed regulations made as a result of that.
There certainly are. We've succeeded in making changes in proposed regulations, both moving positive regulations forward even more so and stopping bad regulatory measures on many occasions. And I think our opportunity right now is to remind listeners and remind our neighbors and remind the Agriculture Department that the people making those rules are not on food stamps. They don't live the lives of people who are struggling to make ends meet, and they need to have empathy. They need to have the human rights viewpoint that I talked about before that treats low-income people with dignity instead of creating false divisions between so-called deserving and so-called undeserving poor people. We have not yet – I've been in this work for over 30 years, excuse me, and I have yet to meet a person who doesn't deserve enough food to eat.
Ken Riegel is the voice you're hearing. He is from Just Harvest. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. And we're talking about the Empty Bowls Dinner, which is coming up. We should give you details. 1 week from tomorrow, the date is March 10th. And on March 10th, it will take place at Rota Shalom Congregation, right at the corner of Moorwood and 5th Avenue. And I should have the hours in my head, but I don't. Is it...
We've got two seating sessions, one from 1 o'clock to 3:30 in the afternoon and another from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Tickets are available in advance at justharvest.org and at pittsburghfoodbank.org.
And we've linked up to both of those sites so you can get to them easily. The two seating approach works really well now. If you've ever had to... you're always going to wait a little. That's part of the event. You're in a line to get your simple meal of soup and bread. If you've ever thought the line was way too long, and it has gotten long, it's really been optimized with having two seatings. For one, it means when the first seating is done, everybody can kind of relax and reset so you don't have a huge backlog. And for two, it kind of makes the... group of attendees with a choice between the two, not all common bottleneck at the same time. I've been to just about every Empty Bowls dinner, and it's really worked very well over the past few years.
Yeah, happily, it's a popular event, and we did not want to be a victim of our own success. The two-session format has worked really well and makes for a comfortable, family-friendly event. It's going to be lots of fun next Sunday. We've got over 30 restaurants and caterers donating soup. We've got literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ceramic bowls for our guests. We've got activities for kids from the Center for Creative Reuse. We've got an exciting new initiative to try to achieve zero waste at this event, working with a composting firm to manage the event's waste stream as efficiently as possible. And we're very excited to have you and your listeners join us next Sunday.
It'll be excellent. Ricky and I will be there, as always, to welcome you. I want to talk about the auction in a moment, but I also want to encourage you, if you're beyond the Pittsburgh area, chances are there are Empty Bowls events in your neck of the woods, or certainly a food bank in your neck of the woods that deserves your consideration of support. So I don't want you to feel isolated. This event does draw people from all over. But as I was Googling Empty Bowls and getting information, I was reminded the great event in Indiana, Pennsylvania, the Empty Bowls event. A lot of communities have picked up on this concept. It's a beautiful way. The bowls that you take home with you really help be a reminder of, it helps remind you of those whose bowls go empty either every day or during certain times of the month. And it's just a great way to sort of experience what it's like.
Yes, and in all fairness, we stole the idea from some other place too. So even though we've been doing this event for 24 years now, it's not something that originated with us. It's something that has caught on all over the country. And look for an Empty Bowls event in a community near you if you're not here in Pittsburgh next week.
Yeah, the basics is for a donation that you make at the door or in advance, you get a beautiful ceramic bowl to take home with you, and then a simple meal of tremendous soup and bread donated by bakers and restaurants throughout the area, and a chance to be in the midst of other people who have the same feeling of empathy and caring that you do. Now, new this year, the online auction. Empty Bowls has always had great items up for auction, but it's been a silent auction face-to-face. This year, it's online.
Yes, we have about 25 items of ceramic art that we'll be including in the silent auction this year. Partly because of the split in recent years between the two sessions, we have tried to come up with a solution that makes the silent auction more fun, more interactive, more efficient over the course of the whole afternoon. And so we are putting the auction online this year. It'll be going live a few days before next Sunday's event, and bidding will continue all through the event. People can log on and bid from their cell phones, from their laptops, from their tablets, from any kind of device, and people can submit their bids, whether they're at the event or whether they've come to the event, seen the items in real life, and left after the end of the first session. The auction will close around the end of the second session evening. It's going to be a new experiment for us, but we think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for people throughout the community to put their names and dollars behind the fight against hunger.
No longer will there be those sneaky in-person one-up silent auction bids where you kind of look around and make sure nobody sees you looking as you raise the last bid by $5. We're out of time. Thank you. We have one very important thing to do still, but thank you for being here. Today's your wife's birthday.
Yes, it is. Happy birthday, Judy.
Judy, happy March 2nd birthday to you.